My wife and I had the privilege of raising six, and one's with the Lord right now, but we're looking forward to seeing her shortly. I just feel in my spirit right now, I want to take a moment, and I want to bless all those who are on Facebook. As I was sitting here, I felt the Spirit of God moving over me, and I want to pronounce a blessing on you that are watching. Some of you from this church who could not be here because of the cold, and some of you who are in other places of the country. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, feel His blessings upon you right now. Feel His peace and His joy. Feel that comfort of the Holy Spirit coming on you right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 2 weeks ago, I started a message called, Where is America? Where is America? It's an America I don't recognize anymore. And this past week hasn't done anything to restore my confidence in where America is today. In Matthew 16, Jesus is speaking there to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he said, you understand the signs of the sky when there's going to be good weather or bad weather, but you do not understand the signs of the times. And it's an important for the church of Jesus Christ to know where we're at, to know the signs of the times that we're living in. What is the reality of our nation and the world today? The reality is that we're at war. We are at war. The kingdom of Satan is coming against the kingdom of our God. He wants to take this world and make it his own private kingdom. And he is after this nation we call America, as never before. Years ago, I picked up a book, and it's called The Art of War. Some of you may have heard about it. It was written back in the feudal ages in China. It was written by a man named Sun Tzu. And it has since been the premier book about war throughout the ages. Even in our modern warfare today, they study this book. And one of the first premises of this book is this. If you're going to go against the war, know your enemy. We are to know our enemy. What are his strengths and what are his weaknesses? We are endowed by our Creator with all kinds of wonderful strength and knowledge that He has given to us to fight the enemy, to fight a good fight of faith. We must realize that we are at war. Now, this past week, some of you may have been watching on TV, the sham that they call an impeachment once again of our president. The reality is they have impeached him constantly for his whole time in office. The last 4 years has been nothing but warfare against him. I'm not going to get into it today because it's too long of a message about what that warfare involves. It actually involves his coming against the New World Order. And the New World Order is not new. It goes all the way back to Nimrod and his raising up his kingdom that is called to the Lord. He gave his kingdom to the Lord of the abyss. And you know who that is, Satan. 2 weeks ago when I spoke about living in perilous times. We are in perilous times right now. We know that, 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 1, go through that. I went through it 2 weeks ago. God has revealed his plans and his secrets and what he wants to do in his word. He has revealed to us, and we must know his word. We can look into the word of God and see exactly what's happening in our world today and the reason for it. I drew your attention to a portion of scripture in the book of Isaiah chapter 3. And I would encourage you to go through that verse by verse, starting with verse 1 all the way to verse 12. If you read that portion of scripture, you will see that that portion of scripture is like reading the newspaper today. The newspaper in our life today that's going on. It is a picture of a nation in decline. We need to know that. We need to read it and study it. We came to the conclusion that this nation is under the judgment of God. One of the things I said is that God does not have to judge the nation, because we are judging ourselves. This nation is committing suicide. Where is America Part 2? Part 1 and Part 2. Today I want to look at two subjects. Number one, what is the government's responsibility to we the people of the United States? What is the government's responsibility? And secondly, what is our responsibility as a Christian living in this nation today? I'm going to be using as my reference this morning, not only the Word of God, but I'm going to be using this to teach. This is called the Constitution of the United States. Right? The Constitution of the United States. Government's responsibilities. I'm going to mention, first of all, here, Amendment number 1. What's the government's responsibility? Amendment number 1 says this: Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. It's not talking about we can't have religion in government. It's talking about the fact that the government has no right to establish a religion, a government religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Today, during this pandemic, and I don't call it a pandemic, I call it a plandemic. Anybody with any sense at all can see that this was planned. This is not an accident that we have a plandemic over the whole nation and over the whole world. The enemy, our enemy Satan, has seen to it that we have a situation in our world today that he can take advantage of. You cannot prohibit the free exercise of religion, prohibiting the exercise thereof. One of the first things they want to do is they want to shut down churches. No liquor store can be open. Yeah. The taverns can be open. Selling drugs can be open. You go to Walmart, they say you can't have more than 10 people together. And you go to Walmart, and they're door-to-door in Walmart and all the other big stores. Why do you think that is? Man, I have so much on this subject, I can't share it all with you. Those big stores like Walmart and Kroger and all those other things, they support the New World Order. They're spending billions of dollars to make this happen in our nation today. So they want to come against the church. One of the reasons why, I'll probably say some things I hadn't planned on saying, and I don't know if they'll take us off of Facebook or not. There's power in unity. One of the things they try to do away with our churches, the church has come together under the unity of Jesus Christ. And they're coming against, there is an antichrist spirit all over this nation. Take down the crosses. Take off the In God We Trust, off our money or off the buildings or anything. You cannot put up the Ten Commandments. When my kids were in school years ago, we were in Pennsylvania in missionary training, and I walked into their school, and they had the Ten Commandments on one wall in foot-high letters. You want to bet that it's not there today? You cannot put the Ten Commandments out in a public place. It's restricted. They want to take all semblance of God and especially of Jesus Christ. You can pray under the name of anything under the sun except Jesus Christ. Have you noticed that? Even in our government institutions, when they have a prayer, a so-called prayer, they're praying, you know, in the name of the Father and the Mother. They're praying in all kinds of things except Jesus Christ. He is never mentioned. We realize that there is only one name under heaven whereby we must be saved, and that is Jesus Christ. And that's the reason why they don't want to hear it. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that's the thing they hate. How dare you say there's all kinds of roads going to heaven, all kinds of ways, all kinds of religions. We're all going up to the same place. That's a lie straight from the pit of hell. Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. You can't abridge the freedom of speech. They are shutting down everything today that comes against the New World Order. In our Twitters, in the Facebook, and everything else, if you are up there and you're a conservative and you name the name of Jesus Christ, they are out to shut you down. They do not want any dissenting opinions. Freedom of the speech or freedom of the press. They don't have to worry about freedom of the press. By golly, they're all in one accord, speaking in one voice against God, against anybody that would dare to dissent against what they are officially bringing to pass in our government. What kind of voice do we have? Do we have any voice in our world today as a private citizen? I have here a list. This is our two senators from Indiana, Mike Braun and Todd Young. And also every congressman from the state of Indiana, Republican and Democrat. I have a list here. I reproduce this, and it's over on that table. I have been calling them this past week to let them know how I feel they're doing. I've tried to make some positive comments and some negative comments, such as, you're doing a good job of destroying this nation. You know, during this past week, I can't watch it all. I'll tell you, I watch some of it, and I start getting mad. Holy anger. And I suddenly discovered, as I was watching all this proceedings this week, I finally realized why they put up all those fences and concertina wire around the state capitol. All those, and they got troops there. I finally realized why. It's not to keep the rioters out. It's to keep the inmates in the asylum in. Those people are insane. There's insanity today in our government. There's no common sense. Anybody looking at what's happening to world in our government today, among our politicians, I won't say all of them, I will say most of them, be it a Democrat or a Republican, I'm as mad at the Republicans as I am the Democrats. Most of them are all part of the New World Order anyway. Insanity. You know what it is? Insanity. What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. That's the definition of insanity. And as I watched this whole thing about impeaching, they've tried to impeach him again and again and again every day, even before he was elected. They knew this man is against the New World Order. He is against what we want to do in this nation and with this nation. We're going to take this nation away from God, and we're going to put it in Satan's kingdom. I'm just getting started this morning. I'll try to let you out reasonable today. Whoa, Lord. What should we expect or demand from the government to which we give this awesome power? We have given to this nation an awesome power. I'm going to read something about the Declaration of Independence. If you don't have one of these, you ought to get one. Declaration of Independence. The Constitution of the United States, both in one little booklet. Listen to this. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union This union we have is not perfect. We never claim it's been perfect. It has not been perfect. There's no nation under the sun that is perfect. Never has been. But we're working on it. To establish justice. Number one, to establish justice. Justice for all. Justice for who? Red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in God's sight. Remember that? We used to sing that in Sunday school when I was a kid. Establishing justice, the same justice for the rich or the poor, for those who have and those that have not, those that are in high places of authority in the government, and people like you and I. Establish justice. Do we have that in our country today? Do we have equal justice under the law for everyone? Half those people that are in Congress today, if we had that, would be in jail. You know how many of them owe taxes like you can't believe. If any one of us had that kind of a tax burden, we would be in jail today. They owe millions of dollars to the IRS, and you never hear about it. They have so many tickets and so many things against the law that they have done that they hide under the guise that they're in government, and they have every right to do the things that you and I do not have the right to do. Establish equal justice. That's in our Constitution, right here. Second one, ensure domestic tranquility. Ensure domestic tranquility. Is that what we're seeing on our nation today? Tranquility? With the riots, burning down businesses, burning down the courthouse, burning down all these things, riots in the street, BLM riots, Antifa riots, all these people. The government is responsible to keep us safe, to ensure domestic tranquility. It's right here in the Constitution. Provide for the common defense. Provide for the common defense. They are supposed to defend us against all enemies, foreign and domestic, here and overseas. They're supposed to defend us. I am amazed when the government fails to keep its people safe. That's the number one job of a government, is to ensure that the people are safe. When the government fails to do it, who does it fall on? I spoke about this, I think, a few months ago. Because we do have the right to bear arms. That's the Second Amendment. Ensure domestic tranquility. Provide for the common defense, protection from outside, from inside our nation. They're not doing that. Promote general welfare over everybody in this country. Promote general welfare for everybody. It's not talking about the welfare state. It's talking about having a state of affairs in our nation where you feel welcome and you feel that things are going pretty good. Nextly, to secure the blessings of liberty. Secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. To ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Secure the blessings of liberty, free from all injustices, unjust rules, and regulations. Those are just some of the things that our government should be providing for us as citizens of this country. Next thing I want to talk a little bit about our responsibility as Christians. I'm going to read something to you. And then you guess afterwards who wrote this. I want to make sure I get it right. I'll put on my cheaters. Listen to this. Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. Did you get that? Religion and morality are indispensable supports of a political system. In vain would that man claim the tribute of patriotism who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness. These firmest props of the duties of men and citizens, let it simply be asked, where is the security for property, for reputation, for life, if the sense of religious obligation desert the oaths which are the instruments of investigation in courts of justice? And let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Whatever may be conceded to the influence of refined education, reason, and experience, both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle. Who do you think wrote that? It was written, this is a farewell address by George Washington in his farewell address as he was leaving office. The farewell address of George Washington. They had some pretty smart guys back then, you know that? It amazes me as I read some of Thomas Jefferson and Adams and some of these other writings. It amazes me at the language that they use. It is beautiful. You talk about knowing the English language, we don't have a clue today. My grandkids, this is cursive writing that I write. You know my grandkids can't read that? They can't read it. What are they teaching in the school? I know, I'm mad about that too. Did you ever try to figure out something in Common Core math? I guess if you were having to know calculus and stuff like that, it might help you. I go to the store, and my bill is $1.16. So I give the girl a $5 bill and 16 cents, and she doesn't know what to do with it. Is that amazing? In our country today, the kids get out of school, they can't read and write, and they can't figure out change. How did I get on that subject? Our responsibility as Christians, and I read the George Washington. I'm not going to take the time to turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, I can sum up this for you in a sentence or two. Romans chapter 13 says, we are to respect the rules and laws of the land. Take the time to read Romans chapter 13. We are to respect the rules and laws of the land, pay your taxes. It's interesting, in Matthew chapter 22, Jesus is talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, and they try to trick him. Remember that? They're trying to trick Jesus Christ. And they say, Lord, are you going to pay your taxes? Do you think it's right for us to pay the taxes? And he did pay his taxes, didn't he? Told Peter to go down to the ocean down there and catch a fish, and then the fish was a coin, a gold coin. I'd like to catch some of those fishes with the gold coins in their mouth and go pay our taxes. It just amazes me, the wisdom that Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God, is beyond knowing. When they asked him that, are you going to pay your taxes? And he said, show me a coin. Remember that? Show me a coin. They hand him a coin. He said, whose picture is on it? Caesar's. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God's the things that are God's. Matthew chapter 22. 1 Peter 2:13 said, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, for conscience sake, for the Lord's sake. Try to live a life that will honor God in keeping the laws of the land. But I'm going to share something else with you. I got to get into the word for this one here. I'm going to pretty much close today with this, but I want you to see this. The book of Acts, chapter 4. Peter is addressing the Sanhedrin. And they are coming against the preaching of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, I'm going to read verse 13 just as a jumping off point. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. It wouldn't mean that they're dumb. It means that they were not educated highly as some of them. They were unlearned men. They marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I'm telling you, if you've been with Jesus and you're following Jesus, I'm telling you what, God gives you some smarts. Amen? Amen? Jump down to verse 18. And they called them. They had a meeting. And they come together. What are we going to do with these men? We can't deny the miracle because the man is standing right in front of us. What can we do? And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus Christ. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it is right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. God's laws are higher than man's laws. Whenever the government comes against you and says, you cannot speak in the name of Jesus Christ, you cannot assemble together in a church to worship, they are coming against God's laws. And God's laws trump man's laws. And I didn't say trump, that was a slip. I didn't say that on purpose. God's laws are higher than man's laws. We teach in the name of Jesus Christ. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. What does that say? Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, of things of earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. When we go from this place and we teach Jesus Christ and we tell people what he has done for us, your greatest thing you can give is your testimony. Your greatest witness you can give to people is your own personal testimony, how that you have found Christ, what a change it has made in your life. You know, Satan is trying to bring his kingdom to bear, right? He is trying to bring his kingdom out. The New World Order, it's not new, it's old-fashioned, it's been in every kingdom since the beginning of time. But I'm not looking for that. I'm not looking for the new world order. I'm looking for the new kingdom order. Revelation chapter 19, starting in verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes are like a flame of fire. On his head are many crowns. And he has name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies that were in heaven followed him upon white horses, that's you and I, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth forth a sharp sword, and with it he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule over them with a rod of iron, and he shall tread at the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Friends, that's the kingdom I'm hoping for. That's the kingdom I know is coming. That's the kingdom that I represent. That's the king I represent, Jesus Christ. I don't care what kind of laws and rules this government passes. I will never, ever deny the name of Jesus Christ. And one thing I want to encourage you in, the fact is that there is power in unity, power in togetherness. Do you know if all the Christians of this country would band together? Do you know what kind of awesome authority and power we would have? That's the thing that they hate about Trump. He had 75 million people vote for him. They had to steal the election in order to take it from him. I don't care. You may not feel that way, but I do. And I just want to tell you that, because I stand for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are on the winning side, brethren. The victory has already been won. We might have to face some battles down here, but the war is over. The victory is won. When you get to the book of Revelation and you read it, we win. Satan is cast into the lake of fire with all his helpers. My gosh. The older I get, I'm telling you, I was talking to my brother in Christ this morning, Chet, and he said, I'm looking forward to going. We were talking about going to be with the Lord. My son-in-law right now is in the hospital. He had a heart attack this morning at 5 o'clock, and he's in the hospital. So far as I know, he's stable, and I thank God for that. He's a Christian. He knows where he's going if he should pass. And I was telling Brother Chet, and I said, the older I get, the more I'm looking forward to it. Man, oh, man, oh, man. There have been times that I have felt the presence of God so strong. We were here one day, standing over here. I don't know, was that a year ago? When we were talking and praying, and we say, Lord, take us right now. I'm ready for the rapture. We were over here just praising God. And I said, Lord, I'm ready. Take us, Lord. I'm ready to go. Are you ready to go? You on Facebook, are you ready to go? You got to know Jesus. Receive him as your Lord and Savior today. Turn everything that's going on in this nation over to him. He has everything under control. None of this has taken him by surprise. He's still on the throne. Amen? Amen. Amen. He's still on the throne. I have this list over here. It's on the table over here. If you want one afterwards, come and take one. And then phone these numbers and tell them how you feel about what things are going in our country. I'm going to turn it over to Brother Chet. Chet, come up here and close our service out with prayer.